1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Hi, welcome. Football is finally here. It's the season opener slash home opener for Murray State football tonight. The Racers take on Kentucky Wesleyan. Two other OVC teams are also in action. And we will have some sound from all the coaches who are involved in the games tonight. But the one that is at the top of our focus is Murray State going up against the Panthers of Kentucky Wesleyan. This is a game that the Racers, of course, are going to be heavily favored to win. But this is not a team that is lacking in talent by any stretch of the imagination. They put up 29 points against the Racers last year. Dalton Oliver threw for 336 yards and a couple of touchdowns. He was 26 for 47, and he's back. He's a senior quarterback now. Looked really good. Xavier Mitchell, he caught 9 passes for 102 yards and a touchdown. He's back. But their better receiver, and I think the Racers paid a lot of attention to him, and it gives you an idea of how good he was. With all the attention they paid to Keelan Cole, he still caught 6 passes for 68 yards. And really last year, I remember thinking, goodness, they're starting a freshman running back. So he's going to be overmatched. So had David White, and guess what? He scored 3 touchdowns, ran for 2, caught another. All those just kind of killing the Racers. So Murray State finally put up a ton of points in late in the game and pulled away for the huge victory, putting up 82 points on Kentucky Wesleyan. But they have some pretty good players, including a middle linebacker who's really impressive, Cody Mills. He's 6 foot. He is a senior, 232 pounds, wears number 91. He's a guy that the Racers have to keep their eye on. So and at their level, they're a pretty good team. They went 7-4 last season. They ended the season on a 3-game winning streak. So this is a team that they're not intimidated by stepping on the field. They're used to winning a lot of ball games, and they'll come in with absolutely nothing to lose. If they get hammered, so what? Most people think about it. And if they put up a good performance, then they'll come out feeling really good about themselves, as I'm sure they did offensively last year. They get to come in here and put up 29 points on the Racers at Stewart Stadium, so they'll see if they can at least match that and perhaps do a little better. Meanwhile, the Racers hoping to rebound from the 3-9 season last year. They only had one win over a Division I team, and that was SEMO. That was the only win they had. The other two were against Wesleyan and Union College. Brent Holzclaw is the head coach at Kentucky Wesleyan. He's out of Owensboro. He actually came to Murray State, was here a year, then transferred to Kentucky Wesleyan, and ended up doing all sorts of great things there. He's the longest tenured of any Kentucky Wesleyan football coach, including our own, my next-door neighbor, Billy Mitchell, who went on to coach at Callaway County and did a great job there. My son played for Billy and absolutely loved getting to play for Billy. I think it was his junior season. Only played for him 1 year, but a really fantastic year. So Racers are set to go. As we've already told you, now Janowski Davis, wide receiver, won't play. Also Corey Gammon, the center, won't play. Violation of team rules, just a one-game deal. Usually it's not that big a deal when it's a one-game deal, but did something, so they will not be in action. Virtually everyone else is. Marcus Holliday still was wearing a cast last time I checked. Not going to risk him in a game like this. And as of the moment I'm talking about this, we still haven't heard any sort of breakthrough news on Mark Dodson. We're hopeful maybe we'll get something today on his eligibility. It looks like, I mean, either he will be or he won't be, and if he isn't, he'll redshirt the season and be eligible to play next season. But head coach Mitch Stewart ready to get the season going for the Racers.
Very excited to get these guys out on the grass. And I'm sure we're like everybody. You beat up on one another for so long during fall camp, spring ball, and summer and fall camp and all of that kind of stuff, that when you get to this point of the year, you're just ready to see somebody with a different color jersey and hit them instead of your own guys. So just very excited to get started and get some of these guys on the grass.
All right. Again, Mitch Stewart in his first season as the head coach. He was the offensive coordinator last year. KD Humphreys back at the helm. Quarterback coming off a really good season. He was 4th nationally in completion percentage, completing 67% of his passes, 6th in the nation in yards per game with 290, and 8th in total offense with 306. He and 7 other offensive starters are returning for the Racers, and the team really has to improve defensively, and I think any Racer fan knows that. They do have preseason All-OVC linebacker Jonathan Jackson, who was the OVC tackles leader. That's kind of a misleading stats. That always sounds good, but if you look, your tackles leader, not all the time, but frequently will be on teams that don't have good records, because one of the reasons they don't have good records is their defense is on the field a whole lot, and that usually is not going to bode well. Usually piles up a lot of plays, and because of that, there you go. You have a guy with a lot of tackles. But the good thing is, Jonathan, whenever he had the opportunity to make him, made him. And the thing you'll need to watch tonight is on that defensive side, there is a difference maker now in number 97, Elijah Daniel. So he's a guy that can certainly make a difference on defense. How much he will in the FCS season, we got to wait till we play an FCS game, and that's not going to be for 3 weeks with this one, and then the following week against Northern Illinois, and the week after that going up against Western Michigan. So that's what the Racers have up. All right, Racers going up against Kentucky Wesleyan, and we will kick it off tonight at 6, our airtime 5:30. Former Racer Josh McKeel will be along with me. Two other games are on tap tonight, and it's going to be Eastern Illinois going up against Western Illinois, meeting in the regular season for the first time since the 1997 season. The former Gateway Conference rivals played an FCS playoff game, actually, back in 2002, which Western Illinois won. And that happened to be Tony Romo's final college game. If you'll recall, the Racers defeated Eastern Illinois to win the automatic bid to the FCS playoffs. EIU got an at-large bid, sending Tony Romo into an at-large game where he lost to Western Illinois. It is a home-and-home series that starts with this one in Macomb. Western has won the last three games in the series, including the last two by an 89-9 margin. But Eastern Illinois is a lot better than the last time these teams hooked up. The two programs played every year from 1934 to 1997. Eastern Illinois opening on a Thursday night for just the 16th time in their history. Panthers 10-5 all time in those contests. Kim Dameron, who was an offensive coordinator at one time here at Murray State, talked about getting it going with the Leathernecks.
You know, we're excited about going over to Western and playing in this game, an in-state rival game. You know, it's a game that goes back a long time between the two institutions, and there's been a lot of history, maybe not recent, but over the years, and so we're excited about it. We feel like we've had a good fall camp, like everybody, and we're excited to get going, and glad that you know, the camp is over, and now we can go play somebody else.
That is Kim Dameron. Eastern Illinois, kind of a disappointing record last year, but they lost a ton of players off their really good teams. They ended up 5-7 and kind of spun their wheels in the early part of the season before they got going under Jalen Whitlow. And, I mean, man, once that guy got going, he got going. He's a senior quarterback, second-team All-OVC, accounted for 27 touchdowns, 15 passing, 12 rushing, one of 30 players nationally named to the CFPA FCS Player of the Year watch list, although only one of the team's top five receivers come back from last year. The Panthers' backfield is loaded, and they can run it, led by Shepard Little, back with 792 yards and 12 touchdowns from last season. FBS transfers are also in the backfield, including Corliss Marshall out of Arkansas, Devin Church out of Illinois, Jaron Seymour out of Vanderbilt. Defensively, among the team's returning players, preseason All-American Kamu Gruger-Hill, who had 97 tackles and 3 interceptions a year ago. Western Illinois, they had the same record that Eastern Illinois did last year at 5-7. Meanwhile, Eastern Kentucky, in the other game involving an OVC team that'll play tonight, they're hosting Valparaiso out of the Pioneer League. That's the same league in which Morehead State participates, as you know or may not know. Morehead does not participate in OVC football. They are in the Pioneer League. So the Colonels come into this one, kicking off the season. First meeting between the schools since 1947. They actually played from 45 through 47, but they haven't played since. Valparaiso projected to finish ninth in the Pioneer League this season in a preseason vote of their head coaches, coming off a four-win campaign last year. A season ago, Eastern Kentucky won 9 games and earned an at-large berth in the FCS playoffs. This season, the Colonels enter ranked 17th in both major FCS polls. Among the team's returning players is the preseason Offensive Player of the Year, Dyshawn Mobley. In his first season with the Colonels, he rushed for 20 touchdowns. That was the 6th highest total nationally. He had nearly 1,500 yards, the 12th most nationally, and earned the OVC Offensive Player of the Year honors after being named a finalist for the Walter Payton Award. A season ago, the EKU defense ranked 2nd nationally in turnovers gained with 33, and this year the team will be bolstered by senior Stanley Amundson, who is a preseason All-OVC selection after intercepting 4 passes a year ago. The Colonels defensive unit also includes Ohio State transfer Noah Spence, who earned first team All-Big Ten honors in 2013. It marks the 4th straight season the Colonels have played a team from the Pioneer Football League. Dean Hood, ready to get going too.
Our guys feel really prepared. They're, you know, we've been breaking up a lot of skirmishes because they're tired of whacking each other the last 3 or 4 days. So that's a good thing. You know, it's a good and bad thing. It's a bad thing if they do that Thursday night and cost our team yardage. But I think it's a good thing because I think it's a sign that they're just getting crusty and they're tired of doing this and they want to play a ball game. So injuries, we've been relatively blessed. Tyler Malone, our starting tight end, is a knee and out for the season. And then Jared Bowen, a guy that gives us some depth and inside backer. That's a really good special teams player for the season.
So they've had a couple of injury issues, but not too bad, I guess. So those are the games on tap for tonight. Now, Saturday, there are 5 OVC teams in action. UT Martin's at Ole Miss, SEMO at Missouri, Mercer at Austin Peay, Jacksonville State at Chattanooga. That's actually the best Week 1 game among the OVC, since both of those teams are ranked in the top 10 at FCS. Tennessee Tech is at Houston, and then Sunday, Alabama State will play at Tennessee State. Most of the games you can see on the OVC Digital Network, with the exception of Eastern Illinois at Western Illinois and Tennessee Tech at Houston, those are on ESPN3. Jacksonville State at Chattanooga is on the SoCon Digital Network. Not sure if that's free or not, but you can check that out. May or may not be. I'm really not 100% familiar with that. So that has us caught up with OVC football. There's some other teams in action tonight as well. In the SEC, Western Kentucky is visiting Vanderbilt. There are many who believe Western will open the season with a win against Vandy. Also, South Carolina faces North Carolina. That is a game that airs on 1340 WNBS at 5 p.m., and we will follow that with the Joined in Progress. Hopefully shortly after kickoff, it'll be Michigan and Utah in Game 2 of our opening night doubleheader. Meanwhile, along the football lines, Kentucky Athletic Director Mitch Barnhart says fans will enter a finished Commonwealth Stadium when the Wildcats open the season Saturday night against Louisiana Lafayette. Work has continued around the clock to complete the $120 million renovation in time for the opener against the Raging Cajuns. And I've seen some of the photos being either tweeted or Facebooked or whatever you call it from that. It really does look nice. It is a pretty... Of course, if you spend $120, it better look nice. I know that. Several Kentucky sports programs, including cheerleaders, have helped with the massive cleanup that continued yesterday, with crews putting cosmetic touches on the now 61,000-seat facility. And during a news conference with school and city officials outlining traffic, parking, and security changes, Barnhart said the game is close to being sold out. Little hoops news. Louisville released its men's basketball schedule yesterday. They will play 3 2015 NCAA Final Four teams and 17 games on national television. They get 21 in the Yum Center. That's always nice when you can have 21 home games. 16 of the Cardinals' 31 will be played against teams that made postseason play last year, including 10 that made the NCAA tournament. Louisville gets it underway November 13th against Samford. The Bulldogs are coached by Louisville native Scott Padgett, who played for Rick Pitino at Kentucky. Cardinals went for the sweep last night, didn't get it. Ryan Zimmerman, too much, jacked a couple of home runs and helped the Nationals beat the Cardinals by a score of 4-3. But no harm for the Cardinals, as the Pirates lost and the Cubs lost. Pirates are in town for a 3-game series. Lance Lynn against Jay Happ going Friday night. That one will be a tape-delayed game following Tiger football. 1340 WNBS. The Cardinals did shuffle the roster a bit. They called up Tyler Lyons from the minors to start in place of Michael Wacha. and Miguel Sokolovic and Nick Greenwood also recalled, and Marco Gonzalez was sent down. Down on the farm, Ed Easley cleared the bases with a pinch hit three-run double as Memphis beat New Orleans 6-5. Anthony Garcia also homered for the Redbirds, who are just a nose under the 500 mark, 69-70. They play their final home game of the season tonight. Pro football's final night of the preseason is this evening. Tennessee will play its final preseason game. They battle the Vikings in Minnesota, and the Rams will play in the Governor's Cup game against the Chiefs. Soccer today. Our local teams, boys teams, are in action. Webster County at Murray High, and Hopkinsville is at Callaway County. In volleyball, it's Crosstown Classic Part 1. Callaway County goes up against Murray High tonight in volleyball, and also we'll have more on the high school football schedule tomorrow, but just to get you ready, Graves County is at Murray High. That is the lid lifter for Ty Holland Stadium. Of course, the Tigers have already played twice, but it's their home opener, and Callaway County, they can do whatever they want tomorrow night. It is a bye week for the Lakers. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Thanks for being along with the Neil Bradley Show. Tomorrow we will preview the rest of the Ohio Valley Conference football games. We'll also have a review of what happened in the Racer game against Kentucky Wesleyan and go over some of the superlatives from the action that will be taking place tonight. That's all coming up on the Friday edition of the Neil Bradley Show at 1340 WNBS.com.